This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of work, this was in the stack last week. I think the New York Times even picked this up, Sam. I remember reading this, and the list is hilarious. For years, an executive would hear people, just over the years, drop sayings like in meetings that were not quite right, just over all of his years in corporate America.
And very confidently say it.
Very confidently, yeah. They would say it. And so he started a database, like who said it, when they said it, under what circumstance they said it, the date they said it. He started this hilarious database of, what do you call it, malapropisms?
It is called a malapropism, yes.
All right. Forget that big fancy word. Basically what it is someone who says something and they don't know what they're talking about and they say the wrong phrase, but they think it's correct. And let me give you a couple of examples. So the Wall Street Journal reports on the retiring of a sales executive at Ford, whose farewell email
would be a malapropism.
Try saying that.
By the way.
Farewell email to colleagues came with an unusual attachment. So he's retiring. He sends his goodbye letter, and in the goodbye letter is this attachment, a list of more than 2,200 verbal gaffes that he cataloged over the years during meetings and conversations, with details, like I said, on who said it and when. It seems that Mike O'Brien wrote down his first such mistake on a whiteboard in 2014. His board words then became legend. And I've got a few of them, but Sam, if you can find some others, pull them up. I laughed out loud reading through this list. We're not going to get to all of them, obviously. But here are some of the things that people said incorrectly during meetings. Okay? We need to make sure dealers have some skin in the teeth. Instead of skin in the game. We need to talk about the elephant in the closet.
Oh my gosh.
The elephant is in the room. People can be in the closet. Here's one. Let's not reinvent the ocean here. Followed by, we've got too many cooks in the soup.
Oh, of course. I mean, you can't have too many cooks in the soup. He is the very pineapple of politeness.
This is my pinnacle. My pineapple. This is my favorite, Sam. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse to death.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not trying to beat a dead horse to death. Here's one. We have a better program, but the competition has more foot on the ground. It says the company's U.S. head of sales once said that in a meeting, our competition has more foot on the ground, before quickly realizing he was going to make the list. Damn it. Is it feet on the ground? Damn it, O'Brien.
I was putrefied with astonishment.
Gross. Is there anything more awkward than hearing someone you work with repeatedly say something the wrong way, like more than once over 2 or 3 years, when you know that it would be polite and helpful to correct them, but like you're not going to do it? I would never do it, Sam.
Oh, I've done it many times. What do I look like? An inferior decorator?
Inferior, someone said.
In closing, I'd like to say Molotov.
No, please don't say that.
Oh my God.
I will just listen to someone mispronounce something and not correct them. And then I will say something to Scott like, dear God, you have to say something. It's driving me crazy. They're saying it that way.
Hey, how many electrical votes does that state get?
Electrical. Someone said electrical instead of electoral.
Mm-hmm.
I used to work with someone that would say, supposedly, there is no B in that word.
It is a real word.
No, stop. No, it's not.
Yes,
just
it
because
is.
We added it, because so many people mispronounce it, does not make it a word.
And I then might just have to fade into Bolivian.
to Bolivian. Instead of photographer or photog, is what we call them in television, he used the term photographer. He would always say, go get a photographer. And I'm like, there's no F-U-R or F-E-R in photographer.
The blabbing brook?
Instead of babbling?
Mm-hmm. Justin Bieber once said on a David Letterman interview, I'm not going to the 16th chapel.
The 16th? Somebody once said to me they were going to dinner down on the plaza. Remember when Filio's was on the plaza? And they're like, we're going to Figlio's.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't know her very well. I didn't know her very well. She was a friend of a friend. And I was like, where are you going? And she's like, Figlio's on the plaza. And I was like, oh. Like, I would want someone to tell me I was mispronouncing something like that. But I cannot.
This list goes into a number of them that we got from George W. Bush. The top example, we cannot let terrorists and rogue nations hold nation hostile. Or hold our allies hostile.
Either one.
Instead of hostage.
Hostile.
Thank you, Mr. Bush.
Oh, God. Never thought I'd say it. Nope, not going to say it.
Well, I wouldn't say it.
I won't. And we end with this. Gen Z employees are never at their desks, and it is apparently driving their bosses crazy.
Yeah, we think they're working at home. Sure.
We might bring this back tomorrow. Gen Zers are actively fleeing their desks for a very 2025 reason. If you were wondering where all the young office workers are, check your watch. It might be sweet treat time. With their firm boundaries, baggy jeans, and rolled-eye approach to traditional hierarchical structures, which I just mispronounced, the youngest working generation has introduced snack time into office life. Snack time. Quote, the 3 p.m. sugar break is more than just getting over that afternoon slump. It is a moment of self-care and indulgence.
Oh, my gosh.
When you are adulting, there feels like a constant to-do list. The 3 p.m. sugar break is a new way to get us back to simpler times of childhood, like getting a sweet treat at the local corner store.
Why does it have to be this big look-at-me thing? I'm starting a new trend. I sit in here, and I eat the entire show, and you guys are none the wiser.
I'm eating a clementine.
I got my bag of mixed nuts.
That I'm peeling
unsalted
with my thumb, because I'm a normal person.
Instead of your pocket knife.
Like Dan. Thank you for joining us today. Scott, back tomorrow, and your continued support of the Dan and Parks program. Always so much appreciated to have you on board. We will be back tomorrow.
Bye.